to the word of the Lord for today. So during the week, while I was studying, trying to prep for this sermon, I had a very good message, something that, you know, I felt was right. But yesterday during prayer, the Lord dropped the scripture on my heart. And, you know, I'm kind of panicking because I'm like, oh, okay, Lord, I spent about a week and a half prepping this message. And now you want me to go this way. So, yeah, just pray for me that the Lord leads me and guides me and that what I say is a timely word that will bless every single one of us here. Amen. All right, turn to your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 1. And our main text will be Matthew 1, 19 through 25. So before we jump into the text, while praying yesterday, I was praying and the Lord laid on my heart that if you look at the headlines, every single headline seems to be about rights. The rights of the unborn, the rights of women, the rights of kids, the rights to bear guns, the rights for the president and what he can and can't do, even the rights for immigrants, right? So there's rights for everybody, right? So I'm not here to debate what is right or wrong, but I'm here to say this, right? When you truly watch the news, you see that everything that we see on TV just wants us to argue about who's right and who's wrong, whose rights are right and whose rights are wrong, right? And if we sit back and simply just eat all that up, all they're doing is sowing a seed of fear into us, right? And we know this because in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if we sit there and just let what they're trying to feed us get into our spirits, what is actually being sold is a spirit of fear and division. Because trust me, you will end up hating or disliking somebody just because you think that their rights are trumping your rights. So, and, you know, it's easy to look and say, well, you know, that's just the world, right? But let's be real. That same spirit has crept into the church. Because I know it's not here because, you know, I see my black brothers, my white sisters, like we're a nice mixed crowd. But many churches are the black church, the white church, the Baptist church, the this church, right? So that spirit of, well, this is my right of how I want to express myself is even in the church this very day. And of course, I'm not going to get political, but if you look at the last election cycle, right, you had some men of God doing some strange things, saying some strange things in the name of having their church vote for this way or that way. Right? So that very spirit of this is my right has even crept into the very thing that we call the church of God. So my question is, how do we navigate this thing? Do we simply just close our ears and just say, well, you know what? I'm not even going to pay no mind and I'm not going to vote. See, I'm not saying don't vote because I voted, right? I'm not saying don't look at the policy because that's wisdom to do so. But my question this morning is, how do we navigate the culture and the fact that everything seems to be trying to divide you from your rights and my rights? Because I believe that, look, man, God is calling us higher. See, because the world wants to make everything about rights, but I believe that God is saying, no, come up higher, look higher, see things from my view. See things from my heart, right? Because if we simply just look at things as, well, hey, this is my rights and that's their rights, at some point, once again, that seed of fear and hate will be sown in your heart. So God is trying to call us higher. So in the world where the everyday topic on the news is who's right is right, how do we navigate that? So in Matthew 1, verse 19, we're going to look at the story of a man called Joseph. Now, of course, I call Joseph the forgotten man, because everybody always talks about Mary and Jesus. But Joseph played a huge role in that whole economy of what happened as far as God coming, you know, in the flesh, right? So in Matthew 1, verse 19, it says this: "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." So if you don't know the story, right? Virgin Mary gets overshadowed or blessed by the Holy Spirit. So she conceived and she's carrying our Savior, right? Now, of course, put yourself in his shoes, in Joseph's shoes, right? He's married to this woman. And she comes and says, "Hey, buddy, guess what? Something's in here." And he's like, "I didn't do that," right? So he has to navigate that in his mind. And the scripture says this: Joseph was a just man. Joseph was actually in right standing according to the law. So guess what? Joseph had every right to actually put Mary to the side. Joseph would not have been in sin. That was his right as a man, as a husband, as a Jewish man. He had every right by the Torah to say no. And not just that, he even had every right to stone her. So Joseph truly had the ball in his court. And the beauty of this is that we see that Joseph was actually kind of a nice guy, because most men would not take that very lightly. But Joseph said, the verse says, he didn't want to make her a public example. So he didn't want to shame her, and he planned to do it secretly, right? So although Joseph had every right, he was trying to do the right thing. He wasn't trying to expose her, if you will. Verse 20. So Joseph, once again, his wife Mary comes and says, "Hey, I'm pregnant," and he's trying to figure out what to do. And verse 20 says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So the Holy Spirit comes and says, well, the angel of the Lord comes and tells him, "Hey, Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't let this seed of fear be sown in you," right? Because something happens when our rights are threatened. We start to feel fear. We start to feel like, okay, this thing is encroaching in on me, right? This thing is about to overtake me. So Joseph is feeling fear. He's trying to figure out what to do. And the angel of the Lord puts his finger right on that thing and says, "Do not be afraid. Don't let fear be sown into you, for that which is conceived is of the Holy Spirit." So the angel of the Lord is saying, look, this thing is the Lord's work. This thing is what God is doing, right? And this thing had to be revealed to Joseph. This was not surface level knowledge. See, look, the will of God is not found on the news headlines, right? You actually have to dig for it. You have to pray for it. You have to seek him for it, right? And that's what we see here. Because anybody just judging this will say, all right, she cheated on him, got pregnant, now she wants him to raise the baby as his, right? But Joseph had an encounter. Joseph had a revelation. And that revelation said, look, what is going on here is the Lord's work. See, and when we judge things with our natural eyes, we will always miss what the Lord is doing. If we just think, well, this person is in office and they're passing all these laws and Israel wants to kick these people out of their land, we'll miss what the Lord is doing. Like, if you're just judging things by, well, their rights are being stomped on and they have more rights, you're going to miss what the Lord is doing. Come up higher. Look higher. Pray about it. Seek the Lord. Find out what he thinks about what is going on. Don't look at the surface level, because when you do, trust me, you will miss it. And that seed of fear and division will be sown into your heart. Amen. Verse 22. It says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Amen. So we see here that the angel of the Lord came and gave Joseph a revelation on what was going on. Here he thought that his rights were being trampled on, but once he looked higher and got an actual revelation from the Lord, he saw that no, not only is the Lord at work, but scripture is being fulfilled. So once again, guys, as you watch the news, look for scripture to be fulfilled, because it is being fulfilled right now. If you're paying attention, like, you will see how nations are moving and how things are going. Scripture is being fulfilled. And this is how you look with your spiritual eyes. Don't judge it by the color of, you know, this person's skin and what they're doing. No, look at it from God's vista. But that means that you must raise your eyes and come up higher and look at it how he sees it. Amen. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth their firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph did not know her. The very wife that he, dare I say, paid for. Because back in those days, you had to pay for your wife, right? So the wife that he paid for, the one that he made vows for, he chose to step aside and let God's will be done. And how many times do we abort what God is doing because it trumps our rights? We're like, you know what, God? I know you put me in this job, and I know that my boss is not saved, and I should kind of talk to her, and my coworker is not saved, but I don't really like this job. They don't pay me enough, so I'm going to pray that you give me a new job, and I'm going to pretty much pray myself out of this divine job that you've given me to be a witness for you. See, we often pray ourselves like out of things that God has put us in. Like, we are called to be a light, but oftentimes, sadly, we only really want to be a light in here with other lights. And we are called to be a light in the world where it's dark, right? But most times we like to pray our way out of the very place that God has placed us. So Joseph, as the scripture says, did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Because when God is at work, our rights must take the back seat. Our rights, let's be real. This whole concept of universal human rights, God didn't make that. That's just man coming together and saying, well, hey, these are kind of the laws we want to govern the land. But let's be real. If one nation with a evil dictator rises up, all those rules and laws of rights goes out the window. So this whole thing about, oh, God has given us these rights, that's not in the Bible. But what is in the Bible is that we are made in the image of God. And because of that, we are actual temples and vessels that he can wear and do his will. So when we submit to that will, he then lives in us and moves in us and works through us. And because his image is in us, he cares about us. But you know what's very funny is, and this might sound crazy, but no, it is going to sound very crazy. But none of us in here really care about the rights of ants. In the same vein, God doesn't really care about your man-made rights. He's God. He does as he pleases, right? The scripture says that, hey, my word have I exalted above my name. So even his name comes second to his word. So if his word is the most exalted thing, who are we to think that our rights are anything, that he's like, oh yeah, son, you have the rights to water, food, and all these things. No, those are all man-made things that we have kind of convinced ourselves that we have rights to. And I know that sounds harsh, but that's just the truth. So God's plans are bigger than the rights of one man. See, Joseph was at a point. See, look, man, we think that God is looking for Marys to, you know, come and birth something through them. But no, God is also looking for Joseph. God is looking for a man who can be spent. Man who can say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Father, I will decrease so that you increase and live through me. Father, I will take a step back so that you can be in the spotlight. And this is what we see here with Joseph. And it's interesting because the scripture never really tells us if Joseph lived to see the ministry of Jesus. So think about that. For how many odd years, Joseph might have been ridiculed by his peers. Like, we know that's not your son, man. We know Mary did something. And all this while, Jesus had yet to manifest as Christ. So Joseph really couldn't say much back. He's like, well, you know what? I really can't say much back because, yes, I saw this angel and this angel said all these things, but I really don't have any proof. So Joseph might have died as a failure to some, because here he was raising this son that was technically not his, right? But that is the beauty about it, is that when we find out the will of God about something, be willing to die about that thing, not your rights. Like, once God says, this is how I feel about XYZ, let's just die there. Don't move it. Don't shift it. Don't change it. Don't say, well, you know what? That's the culture of that day. This is it. No, that's what God says. That is what it is. So just let it be. And Joseph was like that. He was like, look, okay, this angel came to me. This angel said this. I've yet to see Jesus in his ministry. I've yet to see him save anybody. I've yet to see him do one miracle. So of course he had doubts. Like, okay, was I hallucinating? When is this going to happen? Is this going to happen in my own timeline? Joseph was a man just like you and I, but he submitted his rights to the Lord. And because of that, our Savior was born. That to me is mind-blowing, because once again, we often think about it as the Holy Spirit was searching for Mary, but he was also searching for a Joseph as well, a husband that would give his wife to the Lord. Not too many men can do that. Not too many. Amen? So if we truly want Jesus, if we truly want to birth Jesus in our lives and families and homes and everywhere that we touch, we can't get caught up in my rights versus your rights. Because once again, when we do that, that simply is going to allow the enemy to actually sow that seed of fear and division. That is a low-level view of how anything works. Once again, God is saying, look up higher. It's about God's will. It's about scripture being fulfilled in your life, in my life, on the news, and everywhere that we see. Because life is truly bigger than our rights. I mean, life is bigger than your rights. And the highest view that we can have of anything is what God says about it. That is the only view that really matters, right? Because if we judge it by what we see, we will miss it. But God also does things in such a way that he puts things, God smuggles his glory in everyday things. And then he wants us to seek him to find out what exactly is this thing. Think about our salvation. God smuggled salvation in death. Because if Adam and Eve never were cursed by God to die, Jesus could have never died for us. So in death, he smuggled life. So once again, if we're just looking at death from a natural view, oh man, death is the worst thing in the world. Death is pain. Death is horror. You know what I mean? Death is just bad. But once you look up higher and you see that, wait a minute, our Savior actually has smuggled life in this thing. So once we see things how we see it, now we don't mourn at death, but we rejoice. We thank the Lord if that person knows the Lord, because we know that it's just a stepping onto the other side. Amen? So how do we apply this to our everyday life? You know, as a husband to my wife and my father of three kids, you know, being married for almost 10 years now, I think I'm finally at the point where I kind of starting to understand the goal of marriage as far as my end. And that is to see Christ formed and birthed in my wife. Like that really is my goal. But the irony of that is that the only way to do that is to, as the scripture says, love my wife as Christ loved the church. And to do that will come at the detriment of my rights. Because every single married person in here knows that you have legitimately won an argument several times, but you have to die to yourself. It's like, yeah, you know what? I know that one thing that would just end this, but nope, I'm going to die to myself. Man, you only think about you, but nope, I'm going to die to myself, right? So in our personal lives, there are many ways that we can simply apply this, because God is looking for man that he can spend. See, men spend money. Men spend money and they swipe their cards. God spends men. Like, that's why Paul said, I've been poured out like a drink offering. Paul's like, no, my life has been spent for this thing. So you're thinking about, oh, God, give me more money. And God is saying, no, give me you. I'll spend you. Like, I'll use you to go into doors and places that money can't buy. But oftentimes we just think about it as, well, you know what, God, it's about me. Just give me a great job. Let me get paid great. Let me not really be on mission at my job, because I'm just here, and once you bless me, I'm good. But we are actually agents for Christ, ambassadors sent into the world to tell the world about him. And trust me, when you truly do that, your rights will be stepped on. People will say things that you want to snap back at. But you have to just step back and say, all right, Lord, you said that if they do the master like that, what about me, right? So don't expect something different when your rights are spent for the gospel. Because the warning I want to leave with you guys is this. If you exalt your rights over the will of God, God can only do so much with your life. You put a limit on what he can do. If you always have to be right, there's only so far that he can take you. If you always have to argue your own point, there's only so much he can do with you. If you are just simply eating everything in the news just to prove that your side is right, trust me, your side might be right, but you have no power to actually walk in the things that God has called you to. Because when God wants to give you power, as Paul said, I have a thorn in my flesh. God will put a thorn in your flesh just to humble your rights, just to say, yes, you're a bold man. Yes, you speak for me. Yes, you heal people. But guess what? I still have my thumb on you, and I can do as I please. So that is what truly yielding to the Lord looks like. And that is what I like to call the sound mind of Christ. So once again, 2 Timothy verse 1 and 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So on this hand, we have fear. And God is saying, look, I haven't given you that spirit, but I've given you a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And that mind is what we call the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8, this is what Paul writes to the people in Philippi. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being formed of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He laid down his rights, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. So he laid down his rights for you and I just to simply identify with us. And verse 8 says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death of the cross. So Jesus, our perfect example, our Savior, our Lord, our big brother, our everything, he gave us the blueprint of this is how you truly walk this thing out. You do not grasp onto your rights of being equal as everybody else, but you lay down your life because that's the only way God can truly use you. Because once again, what God cares about is his word. That's what he has magnified and raised up above anything else. But if you are saying, God, it's my rights, you will never, and I mean ever, truly move in a space and place that God wants you to in his word. Amen. So once again, the most important thing to God is his will, is his word. But the beauty of this all is this, is that the same way you and I don't really care about ants and we can just step on one, God could just step on us too, if he chooses to. But like I said, he has put his image on us. He's put his spirit on us. He has mercy on us. And he has chosen to actually willingly give us his best. His best. You and I got his best at salvation. We have his best every day by the Holy Spirit. So he's simply saying, guys, come up higher. Don't look at things from a surface level. Don't get caught up in the this person's rights versus my rights, and I have to prove to them that my rights is the right way. No, look at it from God's vista. Just imagine you get to heaven and God says to you, you remember that day on February 3rd that you were arguing with your coworker about President Boom versus President Bam, and you simply could not let it go, and you had a moment where you could have witnessed to them, but you had to just say that thing, and then God showed you them in hell just because you simply could not take a step back and say, I don't have to defend myself right now. So once again, don't get caught up on rights versus rights. Look at it from God's view. Find out what the word of God says about things. Find out what it says about the nations, Israel, family, woman, man. There is answer to just about everything in this book. And if you don't find it in this book, guess what you have? The Holy Spirit. Who seeks the mind of God, who actually goes in the mind of God and knows all things. So if you lack, ask, and he will freely give to you. Amen? So in closing, I'll say this. This is truly the only way to live above being offended. In this day and age, that is what sells on TV. Debate shows about rights, about white versus black, brown versus this, old versus young, women, men. I mean, every show, people are getting paid millions just to sit there and tell you that that side is wrong and this side is right. And this is the only way to live above that in this day, is set your mind on the mind of Christ. Set your mind on something higher. Look up. Don't get caught in the middle trying to defend yourself and defend your color or your race, because guess what? We didn't pick that. I didn't, look, If I had a choice, I might not have chosen to be born in Nigeria. I'm just being real. I might have chosen to be born to a rich, wealthy person in the States, right? So nobody picked who they were born to be, what race, what... No, we didn't pick that. So why die over that stuff? Like, find out what God's will is and do that and stick to that. Amen? Amen. Well, let's just go ahead and pray and just thank the Lord and just... And look, just search your hearts, because I know that there have been times when I have let my need to prove myself stand in the way of what God wants to do. So you know where you're at. You know where you have let your rights trump what God wants. So search your own heart. Heavenly Father, we just thank you because you are holy and you weigh the hearts of man, Lord. You know every thought, every deed, why we do things, why we say things, Lord. You know what is in our hearts, Lord. Father, we just want to lay down our hearts once again, Lord. We lay down our rights. We lay down every privilege that we have, Lord, at your feet. And we are asking, Lord, Lord, make us men and women that can be spent for your gospel. Make us men and women that are not clinging to be right, that are not clinging to prove that we are on the right side, but are men and women that are simply willing to do whatever and be whatever for the gospel to be preached, Lord Jesus. Father, help our hearts, Lord. Help us not to have ego and pride, Lord. Help us to be humble. Help us to be as Paul said, Lord, have the mind of Christ, where we don't try to grasp onto things that are fading, but we grab a hold of you, the only one true eternal thing that will last us, Lord Jesus. Father, help us today, Lord, as we lay down our rights at your feet and ask for you to take us up higher, Lord, so that we can see things from your view, Father. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, just help us to keep our mindset on you, Lord, and on the things that you have for us. Not the things of this world, the pettiness, the going back and forth, to and fro. All that means nothing, God. But you came so that we may have life and have life more abundantly. Let us focus on that, Father God, and focus on the eternal life that we will have, that we already have. And I pray this in Jesus' most precious and his holy name. Amen and amen. Good morning. We thank you so much for coming out. And for those of you who joined us online, we thank you for joining us as well. Hope you enjoyed the sermon. I did. It was, thank you so much, Brother Ike. That was good that we don't get caught up in the things of this world. I have a few announcements for you. If you haven't already had a chance to give, we ask that you please help us so that we can better uplift the kingdom of God and keep these sermons going online in our Wednesday night Bible classes online, reaching people all over the world. There will be no Bible class this coming week on 2-5, but the week after that, we will have a laity-to-laity service on the 12th. We ask that you please come out and support those who are speaking. And that is all the announcements that I have for you. You are dismissed.